Moments and Whatnots, girls on Vectis Radio. It's, I can't remember if it's the 30th of October already. Time's just flying by. Tomorrow is Halloween. I noticed you've got your Halloween face on this lunchtime. What's, have you... What's... are you doing anything for Halloween tomorrow?
Yeah, I'm having a Halloween party at my best friend's house.
So why are you getting ready for it already today then?
Prep.
Oh, all right, okay.
Yeah. I don't have time tomorrow.
It is kind of scary, what you've got there. It is kind of scary. Look, someone coming into this year, what's that? He's, come
on. that's brilliant.
Oh, Battle of, right, 1066, yeah.
Keep it forever.
So what was 1066?
The Battle of Hastings.
All right, okay. And someone got an arrow in the eye, didn't he? Do you remember?
Sure, yeah.
I haven't studied it. You haven't studied it? Okay. I'm pretty sure it's King Harold. Got an arrow in the eye. Because someone said, fire the arrows up in the air and they'll come down. And
we're going to say it was.
Well, yeah.
It is now.
It is now, yeah. Well, I hope it is. Otherwise, I've just made myself look an idiot as well. Anyway, look, Alice is in and she's doing a Halloween party tomorrow. But that's nothing at all to do with what we're going to be chatting about today. Because, personally, I can't stand Halloween. I think it's the most ridiculous thing ever.
And we don't do it.
I'm not going to make the mistake of saying, oh, it's Americanized and so on and so forth, because apparently it started over here. I just think it's just a waste of time and effort. I really do.
Well, we don't do it at my house, actually, because obviously I live in Bryston. You don't want to scare the old ladies. So.
What, like your mum?
Yeah. Right. Don't tell her I said that.
Well, the trouble is, if she's listening, or if somebody tells her, then, you know, that's what's going to happen, isn't it?
Oh, no.
You're in trouble. Anyway, that's not what we were going to talk about. We're going to talk about, go on, education, schools, that sort of thing. Is that right?
Yeah, we're going to talk about the education and how it can cause stress in, like, people normally from 14 to about 18. And then there's a whole different side of how school affects you when you get to uni, because you're living there and there's slightly different stresses, and I haven't really looked into that as much, but it would be something to look into. But it'd be more of a... There's not much online about it, actually, university-wise. But there is quite a lot of stress coming from universities.
OK, let's deal with one thing at a time. Let's just recap yesterday. We had a young man in yesterday, James, who was 11 years of age, and we were talking about... let's go back to the beginning when you feel that the stress actually starts. So you've started high school...
Yeah.
And high school was okay for the first couple of years. So would it be fair to say that the stress started kicking in, or when did it start kicking in? Was it when you had to pick your subjects? Or was it before then, or was it triggered by something else?
It sounds strange, but when I first picked my subjects, it was quite an exciting thing to do. Like, all your friends were kind of huddled around, really excited for what you were going to do, what you were going to learn. And then it came around to it, year nine, and the work started to get bigger and bigger and bigger, to the point where everyone just didn't want to do it anymore. And it's become such a heavy workload that I think it did start at year nine. It started from going from... doing small bits of work, like once or twice a week in year seven, to having eight subjects and something to do for each of them a week. Like, so I would come home of a Wednesday and already have six or seven pieces of coursework to do. And it just piles on and piles on.
Hey, look, I'm renowned for never writing anything down and never having anything planned, because it's all in my brain. And I'm not saying it's a big brain or anything. I'm just trying to find a pen now that will work. I just want to make one thing absolutely clear for those people. I think this one works. Thank you. Yeah, it does. Year nine. People my age would not understand what year nine is. So what is year nine? Let's just, you know, so you understand.
Age-wise.
So you understand. When I went to Medina High School, okay, I started when I was 13,
mm-hmm.
And when we got to Medina High School, and it was the same in my day, if you went to Carisbrook or you went to Cowes High School, you started at 13 in a high school, and it was always year three. You were third years, fourth years, and fifth years. That's how it came about. In middle school, it was first year, third year, fourth year, first year, second year, third year, fourth year, and so on. And it was the same in primary school as well. So it's when you say year nine, that's not your 9 years of age. That's you've been at school 9 years. Is that right?
Yeah, it works like that now. So year seven is when you start, so you're 11.
Right. So when you started high school, you know, that's the term, isn't it? High school.
Yeah, we don't have middle school anymore. They've cut it out completely. So you go straight from a primary school environment from when you're 10 and 11. And then you all turn 11 and you start high school at year 7. And normally it varies between being 11 and 12, and then year 8, you're 12 and 13. And then you're 12 and 13. And then year 9, you're 13, 14, and it goes on like that until you get to the age of 16 and you finish school.
Right. Okay, so you started high school at the age of 11.
Yeah.
And that would have been, what, year 6?
Year 7.
Year 7.
Yeah.
Right, okay. So then you weren't pressured then?
No, it was quite nice. We did quite a lot of, like, crafty things, and it was quite laid back and reminded you a bit of primary school, because I think they like to do it so that you kind of subtly, gradually go into high school, because it is quite a switch.
Yeah.
It becomes a lot more of a education environment instead of, I remember in primary school it being somewhere really fun to go just to see your friends and maybe you'd learn something. But then high school is a lot you need to learn and your friends come afterwards. And that was something that you kind of had to build up to learn.
Okay, so let's you started high school, you did 2 years where it was fairly relaxed, mm-hmm. and then you started feeling the pressure.
Yeah, year nine, which I think I was 13 when I started year nine.
Yeah. That's what I've worked it out at now, because in my little brain, I don't know why we overcomplicate the year nine and so on and so forth. To me, it's just, why don't they just say, look, you're 11 and you're at high school, and it's not year 11, it's not year 6, year 7 or whatever, you're 11. Then we know where we are. You've been at you're 11 and high school starts at the age of 11. We can understand that. It's a bit like the exams as well, the actual results you get. They're complicated. Why?
They've switched it now, so it's not A, B, C, D. It's 1 to 9.
Right.
So 9 is the best you can get, which is an A star.
So 9 is the best you can get?
Yeah, I know. Everyone thought it would be the other way around.
Yeah.
And then 1, I believe, is either a D or it's just a fail.
Right.
But normally, they really pressure you at high school with numbers. They don't do it in a, oh, you haven't got enough coursework, you need to do this, you need to work forward. It's like, you're at a 2. So we do it on target. So it's your target now, your target from primary school that you should be at for GCSEs, your average, then your aspirational, and then your expected.
Right.
So in primary school, so year 6, so you would have been 10 or 11, you take your SATs, and from what you get then, they'll try and do a, like, progression thing. So by year 11, you should be at this grade. And then your expected is, so say I was getting a 2, which is a, like, D, and then by next year, they want you to jump a grade, or by next time, they want you to jump a grade, so you should be at a 3, which is a low C, and then your aspirational would be a 4, which is a pass. So that's a C. So they do it all on numbers, so if the schools aren't hitting the numbers, it brings their whole numbers down. So it now becomes all about grades, not about the actual work.
Right.
Because it's all quite, you need to be getting these grades, or if your teachers don't hit a certain grade, they're the ones that get it. They get in trouble for it because they either haven't taught it right. If it's your whole class getting the same grade, they haven't taught it right. So it's now become more teachers trying to get praise.
It's a little bit unfair, not just on the kids, but on the teachers as well, then it sounds.
Yeah, the teachers have so much pressure. My music teacher, she works so hard for us. She does everything. She goes out of her way in the evenings to print off revision things so that we're not behind. And if I'm ill or someone else is ill in my class, she'll print off the work that we did that lesson so we don't miss out. But she's constantly got to make sure that we're getting a certain grade, otherwise she gets marked down for it.
Right.
When actually it could just be that I've not paid attention that lesson, or I've not understood something and I haven't asked her, but she'll get marked down for it, not me.
It's quite a scary thing where all this is going and where it's come from. And I think we've kind of made it more complicated than it should be. And it's almost like we're playing the blame game now, because if you don't get the grades to teach... I mean, in some instances, yes, you could, if you investigated and you saw that the teachers weren't doing things correctly, then fine.
Yeah.
You know, they're getting paid to do a job. But to just sort of say, right, OK, 30 people here have not done very well, so you've not done the lesson. You might have just had 30 kids that just couldn't, you know, really give a monkeys.
Yeah,
and, you know, that's the sad thing. But I would feel, if I was a teacher now, I would feel under immense pressure. And if they're under immense pressure, or if they're under pressure too, that pressure is going to have a knock-on effect. So let's go back. 13, at the age of 13, you felt like there was more pressure put on you.
Yeah.
So how much homework did you get at the age of 12, and how does it compare time-wise to, you know, when you're 13, 14, 15?
So year 7 and year 8, so when I was 12, which would have been year 8, I probably got 2 or 3 pieces of homework a week.
Well, when you say 2 or 3 pieces of homework, how long is that? Are you expected to work on them?
So normally they give you like a worksheet, which would be one-sided, and I don't know, so you had to answer 10 questions.
Right.
And you'd have to hand it in a week later. So it was something that you could really quickly do, probably at latest it would take you half an hour.
Mm.
And you just hand it in when you could hand it in early, you could hand it in on the day, it didn't matter. And then you jump into year 9 and it completely changed.
Right.
Yeah.
Go on, talk us through that. Completely changed means what?
So I take art and music as my chosen subjects, which are both coursework heavy. So my coursework counts as 60% of my grade.
Yeah.
But then obviously I take English, maths, history, everything else on top of that. And it went from having no homework in art or music and it just being something you did for fun and just having a couple of pieces of homework to having essays to write in English, maths papers to sit at home. You had to do history revision on top of writing and essay questions. You have to do your sketchbook and then your annotations and then a painting and photo editing for art. And for music, you have to compose the song and know the theory. And then it just, science, you just need to, you have to keep going at the knowledge and you're constantly given test papers. And it's all become so test worthy. Like we won't even be in school and we'll be given a test paper to sit at home. It's not coursework anymore, apart from art and music, which is so coursework heavy that you don't have time to do the rest of your work. And then it's kind of, I was speaking to like some friends at school and we were kind of saying how it feels like the teachers forget that we have other classes. So we feel like our art teachers forget that we have other classes because they give us so much to do that we'll be starting it at 6 in the evening. We won't get done until like 12 at night because we're so anxious on trying to finish it in one night so that we can do our next thing. And it's just become so overwhelming that no one can really do it anymore.
That sounds excessive. 6 hours.
Yeah.
6 hours. Now, you know, I asked the question at the end, how does it differ time-wise? And it's only at the last couple of sentences you actually said, this is the difference time-wise, because it's like a load of homework means nothing to me.
Mm.
Just say, for instance, if I was listening and could make some changes and so on and so forth, I would need to know some hard facts, like come home from school, walk us through a normal day. If you're coming home from school and, right, you're at tea and at 6 o'clock, you've got to be bang at it until midnight doing a project, that to me sounds excessive. But all the rest of the stuff, got no idea. I've got no clue. So well, how does the other subjects compare with the amount of time that you're spending on art?
Art is definitely my most stressful sect.
It shouldn't be, though, should it? Because art should be, you know, the artist that I know will be telling you that, oh, it's a great way of relaxing and expressing yourself and so on.
I really did.
I'm guessing that it's very difficult to do an examination in art that because, just say for instance, if you are an artist and somebody says, can you paint this picture? You'll go and paint that picture and you'll tell them, look, it's going to take a bit of time because that's the way I work.
Yeah.
Whereas this is a test. This is an examination. So you've got to put, you know, you've got to have some boundaries. You've got to put some effort in, some time in. And you know, equally for writing a song, most singer-songwriters will tell you, a song comes to them. They just can't sit down at 5:30,
spend
2 hours writing a song and then come up with something. That's not the way it works.
Often the way that happens in my head is I'll be sat down somewhere and even if it's like a few words or a sentence, comes together in my head out of nowhere and then I'll be able to write a song. I wouldn't be able to sit and be like, okay, I need to write a song now because I have no inspiration in my head, so it just won't. It will show on paper. You'll write something, but it won't be good because it will show on paper that you have no inspiration for it.
Exactly.
So it's quite a difficult thing.
It is. I would imagine you're under more pressure. And to be doing music in that way and art in that way as well, that's a double whammy of stress. Whereas if you were doing maths and possibly English, especially science and things like that, there is an answer to everything. There, you know, but you've got to find a song. You've got to find a picture. It's not like how does English work then? Do you have to find like a story? Do you have to write a story?
So we do English literature and English language. So English language is a lot more based on the vocabulary and how you present yourself. So it's a lot of writing letters and analysing people's speeches and how they write, how they work. And literature is analysing books. And so at the moment we've done Macbeth and Jekyll and Hyde and we've done In Spectacles.
Mm.
And you have to know them in and out. You have to know quotes. You have to write essays on them. I actually have 3 essays to write for English at the moment, which I just haven't gotten around to yet. But it's, you think it's a lot easier as you walk in because it is, as soon as you learn it, there is something there. It's not like you don't have to make it up. It's there. You can find it, but it's, in a way, it is kind of like writing a song because when you're writing an essay, you can't just go online and copy someone else's. You have to take quotes and link it and analyse it and then zoom into certain words and then analyse those. And it has to be in your own words all at the same time. So trying to do both and balance them is quite difficult.
Right. Are you typing or writing at this point?
We're not allowed to type. We have to write.
So you have handwritten?
Handwritten.
Everything is handwritten?
Unless you have... You can... At schools now, you can take a test.
Right.
And if you're significantly quicker at typing than writing, or you're dyslexic, or you have a real struggle with writing, you're allowed to use a computer. But I think I only know 2 or 3 people that do.
So in actual fact, in some circumstances, you could be at a disadvantage if someone else is being able to type, because they can cut and paste,
yeah,
and nick stuff.
Well, yeah,
I'm not saying that they do that, by the way.
I think when you write essays at home, it is a lot of. Sometimes I like to do it, so I'll plan it out in a notebook, and then I'll type. I do end up doing it on my laptop because I'll be sat there in the middle of the night and finally have an idea, end up typing it all up, and then have to write it all out to be given. But with homework, they're more relaxed about whether you type it up or not. But in school, there is no way you could be given a laptop. It's, unless you've got a pass saying that you can have one, it wouldn't be given to you.
Right. Okay. It's an interesting subject, and we're getting it from the horse's mouth because you're actually going through this.
Yeah.
You're actually going through this. Do you know, you obviously know a lot of people in your school, especially in your year. What's the rough consensus of opinion? Do they all feel the same way as you do? Are you one of a few that is struggling, or are you one of many?
Everyone struggles in different ways depending on what it is that they're taking, because some people don't do any art subjects. I think it does sound mean, but people that do art subjects genuinely do tend to have a lot more stress because they have a lot more work to do. But then take geography over history. Geography is a lot more coursework heavy. They had to have a whole week of geography once because they were so behind, and they all get stressed out. So it really does depend. But we all have a bit of an inside joke at school, and it's that geography students come in and they're like, oh, I only had 7 hours sleep. And then, who was it? Oh, yeah, photography students said, oh, you had 7, I only had 5. And then art students are like, wait, you slept? Because it's just, it's so full on that everyone just needs to make a joke about not sleeping, otherwise it's not.
All right.
It gets too serious.
Okay, I'm just going to ask you a couple of basic questions. Do you wish there was more time in the day?
Yes, definitely.
Where do you live?
Bryston.
Where do you go to school?
Ventnor.
How long does it take to get you there?
Probably at least half an hour.
How are you getting there?
By a bus.
On a bus?
My bus comes at 7:40. I have to go to the bus stop. And then my bus doesn't turn up until 7:55. But we have to go because sometimes the bus comes early.
Right. School bus, yeah?
Yeah.
A school bus. And that's a fairly decent time, half an hour. But it's still half an hour there, half an hour back. That's an hour every day. Ooh. That's 5 hours every week. You add up the hours and you think, okay. And I'm not having a pop at the free school. I'm not having a go at where you live. I'm just looking at it and thinking, in my day, when I was at school, all of our schools were more or less on our doorstep.
Yeah, it's a struggle.
I went to Downside. I walked. It took me 3 minutes. I went to Barton. I walked. It took me 7.5 minutes. I went to Medina. Took me 20 minutes. But the fact is that, one, I'm getting, you know, I'm out there walking and I'm healthy, but it's not like 5 hours a week stuck on a bus.
I have to be in school for 8:30. If I'm late, it gets marked down.
Right.
They're slightly more lax about it if you're on a school bus. It's really not our fault. It's down to the drivers. We don't finish school until 4:10. But by the time we get out, it's 4:20. By the time everyone gets on the bus, it's 8:30. So by the time I get home, it's 5:00. So
that's a long day.
Yeah.
So your school starts at what time?
I've got to be there by 8:30.
8:30, and you leave at what time?
By the time I get out of my school building, it's about 4:20.
4:20.
Yeah.
So you literally went. I mean, the mentality that I had when I was at school. Was when you left school and you got a job, most jobs were sort of 8 till 4:30 and you had an hour for lunch.
Yeah.
Okay. You're almost doing that.
Yeah.
You're almost doing those hours. That's a lot of hours. And then to get home and having to do a load more, that's excessive. When you think of, okay, not many people do a 40-hour week now.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I was part of a movement that brought the hours of 40 hours down to 39, and then they brought it down to 37-hour weeks in factories and things like that. And yes, of course there are people that work 65 hours and so on and so forth. They probably end up working for themselves or they're high-powered. Most people nowadays, if you're working in a supermarket, you have X amount of hours. If you're working in a factory, you have X amount of hours and so on. And when you work out that, you know, in my day when you did the 8 till 4:30, that was 8 hours a day. That was 8 hours a day. And you're almost doing that now. And I would go home. I wouldn't be bothered with overtime and things like that. I wouldn't work weekends either because I've done my 40 hours. You've almost done 40 hours of schooling in the course of a week. Chuck in the travel. that's a big ask for someone that is only 15.
Yeah, and then we have revision, and then we've got... So we kind of separate revision and coursework into completely different things, because revision is remembering what you've learned the year before or remembering what you've forgotten in a certain subject, and coursework is having things in your book to mark. So you normally revise, and you finish revising, and then you have to do your coursework.
Mm.
And then obviously you have to eat dinner and have a shower and add that to your day. And by the time you end up doing it, you want to go to sleep because you're exhausted. And then on the weekends, obviously, a lot of kids my age work on a Saturday. And then Sunday, it sounds bad, but really you just want to go see your friends because it's your only free day, really.
Let's remind ourselves. I mean, you're 15, you've got friends, you've got a life. You know, it shouldn't all be work, work, work.
Mm.
You know, I'm also a great believer in, hey, look, if you don't put the effort in, you won't get what you want. But there has to be a happy medium. You have to remain, you know, a teenager for as long as you possibly can. Yeah, there's you have responsibilities. But I just find that that's excessive. If that's the correct amount of hours that you're doing and the amount of homework that you're getting... You know, I talk to other youngsters that come from other schools, and we spoke to James yesterday. He was talking about his day finished at 2:30.
Yeah, our school is the longest school
day. He finished
at
2:30. That's like
2 hours.
That would
be a blessing for me.
That's roughly 2 hours shorter than what you're doing.
I finish lunch 30 minutes before he leaves.
Which is, that's quite excessive.
Because I have lunch at 1:30. So I finished that too, and then my lessons continue.
So if just say, for instance, you could change anything, what would you change?
I think there was two things that a lot of us wanted to do. We wanted to have, because they are such long days, we would like to have one day a week or half day a week, whatever it was, where we just sat in our form classes and did revision and coursework, because it would cut out so much of the day in the evening, because if we were doing, I don't know, even 3 hours, 4 hours of revision a week at school, that would cut 4 hours out of our evenings and our weekends, which would give us so much more relaxation, I think. And then Christ the King have actually just started having half days.
Right.
So on a Wednesday, they go home after lunch, and they're allowed to study, they're allowed to go home, they can do whatever they like. Because my friend Paige goes there, and she said it's helped so much. Because everyone thinks that they just go home and just go sleep, but a lot of them actually just go into like Costa or places like that, and they revise. Because it's just somewhere away from home where obviously you don't have Netflix to distract you. But it would be nice to have that.
It would,
time.
But let's be honest, there will be people that will abuse it.
Yeah.
And take the mickey out of it. Okay, look, what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break, we're going to come back, and I'm going to get you to talk us through an ordinary day at school. So an ordinary day at school, you get up, go to school, lessons, how long, lunch, come home, and then so on and so forth. Okay,
yeah.
Is that okay?
Yeah, of course.
All right, we'll come back and we'll do that in a moment.
Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, Isle of Wight's community station.
Smiths and this charming man on Vectis Radio. Talking of which, I'm here until 1. See what we did there? 1:00. I'm this charming man. You weren't even paying attention, were you?
Nope.
We've got Alice in the studio, and we're talking. She's moaning and groaning about working hard in schools and so on and so forth. And I've got to be honest, when you first brought this up, I thought, Al, stop moaning and whinging, get on with it. The more I hear of this, the more I think. We've got John, who popped into the studio just now, who's going to be here with Laura doing the afternoon show. Use the term counterproductive, and I think that's what it kind of sounds like. If what you're telling me is absolutely 100% true, you might have spun me a right big yarn. We're going to find out now. So you're going to talk us through Just in case you join us, this is the Lunchtime Social Discussion. Alice is in. She's on work experience. She's doing the four Ps. And you wanted to talk about the stress and the issues that you have in schools, the amount of times that you're doing homework and so on and so forth. So let's have it from the horse's mouth. This is a normal day. So you're getting up at what time?
Okay. So I'll normally wake up at 7 to 7.15, depending on how much I just don't want to get out of bed. And then I'll get ready and then eat breakfast, and I'll need to leave by 7:45. My bus comes at 8:10, depending on whether the bus driver's late or not. It takes half an hour to get there, so I'll get there for about 8:30. 8:30 from 9:00, I'll have form, which is where you sign in. And we do a lot of PSHE, so it's like mental health and stuff. They just kind of, it's somewhere to sit for half an hour until your class starts, really.
Can't you do your own work then?
We're not allowed.
You're not allowed to?
No.
So you have to have 25 minutes of what?
It's like PSHE, so at the moment we're doing college applications, but in year 9 and year 10 you would have done like finance and mental health and children and stuff like that.
Okay. Is it useful? Certain bits of it?
Maybe? Applying for colleges, right. Is the rest of it everyone just slept through because they were all still tired.
Right. Fine.
And then 10 to 11 you'll have a lesson, so my Monday would be, I think I'd have, yeah, I'd have French, and then 10 till 10:30, because they actually split the second lesson,
right?
So 10 till 10:30 I'd have English. And then 10:30 till 10:45, I'd have break. And then 10:45 till 11:15, I'd have the rest of English. And then 11:15 till 12:15, I would have science. 12:15 till 1:15, I would have history. 1:15 to 1:30, I'd have, like, you can go sit outside and have break. And then you from 1:30 to 2.
You have a half an hour lunch break.
You have a 45-minute lunch
45
break.
45 minutes, right.
But it gets separated. So this is not like all schools, but in my school, we have 1:15 to 1:30, you're allowed to go outside and sit with your friends. And then 1:30 till 2, you have to go into the lunch hall, sit in your form classes, your mental groups, with a teacher and eat lunch for half an hour. And then 2 till 3, I would have...
Hang on, you're having two lunch breaks then?
Kind of. It's one lunch break, but it gets split into two sections because you have to wait for the lower years to finish lunch because we don't eat lunch with them. They have lunch at 12:45.
So how long are you sort of having a break for then? You've got two breaks.
In total, our break is 45 minutes.
In total?
Yeah, which is what it has to be. You have to have 45 minutes for lunch.
Okay.
And then 2 till 3, I would have my next lesson, which would be maths. And then 3 till 3:10, I would have my last lesson, which would probably be...
Hang on, 3 till 3:10, that's only a 10-minute lesson, isn't it?
Oh, no, sorry. 3 till 4:10 is this thing called enrichment. So we get put into... like separate classes depending on what you need. So on a Monday I have maths, on a Tuesday I have photography, Wednesday I have revision, Thursday and so on, and we do that for an hour and then we get our stuff and we go home.
Right, okay. Just, so, sounds like a really long day. I'll tell you what, just one observation. How do you get on with the fact that you've done French and then you've done English? Would you prefer that? Does it interfere, or would you prefer to have French and English on another day?
It really depends on what you're doing. If in French we've just had an exam and it's been really full on, you don't really want to go into something. They haven't put it in a certain way, so I'll have French and I'll have an exam. And then I'll have English and I'll have an exam, and it will end up being a full day of exams because they put all your core subjects on a Monday.
Right.
But sometimes it's nice to change the subject dramatically because your brain kind of kicks in again and you're like, oh, okay, I need to focus on this now, not that. And it does help you not fall asleep, because otherwise, right, you just you do get it gets repetitive, and it's
so you get up early.
Mm-hmm.
You go in, and you don't have much time to chill out. Lunchtime is a chill out time, 45 minutes.
Well, normally yes, but our lunchtimes, because we have to sit with the teacher and we have to sit in our forms, not with our friends, it's quite like a
really
awkward thing. You just kind of sit there and eat your lunch and sit in silence.
Do people do that thing? Because in my day, people used to go home for lunch.
Yeah, you're not allowed to do that anymore.
You're not allowed to do that anymore. No. Well, that's a shame, isn't it?
Cause, I know, I would have enjoyed it. A bit far to go, but...
Yeah, that's why we used to have schools in our areas.
Yeah.
And I think you're already under the cosh a little bit for time, because every week you are 5 hours travelling. Yeah. Regardless of whether you agree, disagree, whatever, that's 5 hours wasted. Because I doubt very much that you can sit on a bus and do any homework or revision or anything like that.
I've tried. It did not end
you
well.
Can't, you're not going to be able to concentrate with all that going on.
And not just that, the bus is moving up and down and your coursework just looks messy.
Yeah, so. Sure. So, well, you know, this is, as I said in the previous conversation about this, you know, in my day, if you lived in an area, you went to school in that particular area and you didn't have to, you know, waste time and so on and so forth. But the other side of things, I always like to give the other angle. The other angle is you're probably going to be a little bit more mature when it comes down to travelling in the future, because you can go from A to B, and you have to be responsible for being at the bus stop on time and getting yourself home from the bus stop and so on and so forth, and getting yourself up so you catch that bus, because if you don't catch that bus, you are you're left behind and you won't make school, because there's only one bus, I'm guessing, that picks you up.
Yeah. I think it does give you a better understanding of travelling and how, I don't know, say you're going to get a train, the train's not going to wait for you, doesn't know that you're coming. So that's the upside to it. It does help you, like, if you have a boat to get, you need to get there early so that you can do your ticket and get there, which I think I did learn a lot quicker than some other people, which has helped, but obviously the journey's not exactly fun. Quite long and tiring. But.
Just coming back to what you said earlier on, and we were talking to John just now. Now John's singer-songwriter, going to be on with Laura on doing the afternoon show, and he was saying, yes, you could write a song in an hour, but it might not have any heart and feeling, and it might not be the best song in the world. That's not the term he used, but we won't use the term that he used. And you just think, okay, you're in that position where your music teacher will say, right, I want a song from you, and you've got an hour to do it. Okay, that's enormous pressure, and that's not how it works. Any songwriter will tell you that's not how it works. But is there any other time when you say, right, I'm feeling creative, I'm going to write a song and keep this one ready for when they ask for it? Can you do it that way round?
Yeah, you can definitely try to, but you get set briefs, so you have a theme to follow. So last year's theme, I haven't got my theme yet, but last year's theme was a spy chase. So say I'd sat down, been creative, written a song, it's very highly unlikely that I'm going to start writing lyrics to a song about a spy chase. So
a spy chase?
Yeah, it's not.
What are they, are they secretly going to, you know, hey, we're going to put this song in for the new James Bond theme? You know, I mean, to me...
the other one's a carnival. Which, to be fair, me and one of the girls that I work with had a lot more fun with. Like, it was still difficult, and I ended up spending hours doing lyrics, but we did it in a way that it was kind of like a horror movie thing, and there was clowns coming to get you from the carnival, and it was all about, like, kind of bringing tension to a song, whereas the spy chase, you were kind of just sat there like, da-da-da-da.
Wow. I'm finding it hard to be inspired in that respect.
Yeah.
I would imagine you would have a style. You're a singer in a band anyway.
Yeah.
And I would imagine you've got your own style. And is your own style anything that you've mentioned so far?
No. We have a free brief, which we were really lucky to have this year, as well as our set brief. So I got to write whatever I wanted. But I had an hour to write it.
Right.
So I was quite sneaky about it, and I wrote it and then took a photo of it and edited it at home and brought it in the next day. But it was really full of pressure, but at least I got to write about what I wanted to write about, so it was easier than being told what you need to do.
Yeah.
But it still kind of ruins the whole creativeness of writing a song.
Well, that's what it's... surely that's what it's all about, isn't it?
Yeah, it used to be, and now it's just about grades.
That doesn't really make any sense or give you any inspiration whatsoever. That's really quite sad, to be quite honest. And it must be the same if you're... I mean, I'm not artistic at all, but I can, you know, I fully understand that you can't just write a song just like that.
Yeah.
You know, I know that in the day that Elton John used to do this thing where he'd go on a TV program and they'd give him like the back of a cigarette packet and there'll be some words on it and he'd turn it into a song. Yeah, but he did that after 30 years of having hits. So, you know, you're going to be able to do that. And the same with you know, the art side of things. How can you show your artistic side if somebody says, right, you're going to paint me a picture and it's going to be X, Y, and Z this big
and
so on?
That's exactly what art is. You have a theme. You don't have a choice. You have a theme. So my theme this year was identity. Theme last year was indoors and outdoors, so we spent the whole year painting chairs. It was not fun.
Painting chairs?
Yeah.
Right. hang on, so you were painting chairs as pictures or you were actually painting the chairs?
We were painting chairs as pictures and they were right. Going in sketchbooks. It was not fun.
Okay. I'm struggling with being inspired. But I also see that, you know, I like the fact that people have to work hard at this stage because, you know, you've got to show willing. You've got to put some things down and say, right, this is what I want to do and open yourself up to, you know, to working hard and getting used to the hours and so on and so forth. But I'm also of the same opinion of hang on a minute, but you're still only 15. You've still got to be a teenager. You've still got to have a life. Otherwise, your life will flash by and you'll be at work before you know it. And then you think this is stressful. All of a sudden, you're 22 and you've got a mortgage and a baby and so on and so forth. Then you think, hang on a minute, wind this back. I've been under the cosh since I was 13. You know, that's the sort of things that we've got to be looking at. And I say, with kids staying on at school longer until they're 18, maybe this pressure point that we put people under, maybe that could be spread out a bit more so it makes it a little bit easier for peeps like you.
Yeah, I think definitely. With the creative side of things, you can, if you're close enough, you can be quite sneaky about it, because with identity you can then obviously make your own themes, but there's not many ways around it normally, and it kind of takes the fun out of it, I guess.
Okay, but I mean, where do you go from here? I mean, have you mentioned this to teachers? Are they aware of the pressures?
They're just like, that's how it is, life goes on.
But then again, I'll see it from the other side. You know, your side is, oh, come on, give us a break. But hang on a minute, they're under the cosh as well.
We do feel bad for our teachers, to be fair.
You've actually pointed out that, you know, if you don't get the marks that you are set, if you don't get those figures, they come under pressure.
Well, what I find funny is they don't teach us anything, like, finance-wise, because all we want is to know how to deal with bills, because when we get to 18, that's it.
We've had this conversation with people your age many times because they bring it up as one of the topics that they want to talk about, and I totally get that. The fact that, you know, I personally believe not just any one school, I don't think many schools are getting young people like yourself ready for the outside world. I think it's all about ticks in columns and so on and so forth. Yes, there has to be an element of that, I'm guessing, but I don't believe that you will know anything about APR,
banks,
interests, and cooking and looking after yourselves physically, mentally, and so on. I don't think there's enough of that really goes on in schools. That's my honest opinion. And I don't think that that's ever going to change. I've heard things that it is changing gradually, but I don't think it's changing fast enough. I just think it's we're when it comes down to the kids, it's statistics, too many statistics, and we're not looking at young people individually and saying, right, these are your talents and we're going to nurture them. I know certain schools will, and they're very good at it, but the majority, unfortunately, are lumped in with this statistical situation that we have that I don't think is really, really fair and helps you. That's my honest opinion. Hey, look, it's been interesting to chat with you this lunchtime.
Yeah, you too.
And we have run out of time, unfortunately. But you're back tomorrow with another subject. So join us tomorrow from 10 o'clock. Stand by, because Laura, John, and the little fella is on the way, Archie, and Joe as well. Stay tuned.
Local station, Vectis Radio, FM 104.6.